We'll be looking at Mark 7, verses 31 through 37 in our next couple of studies. The passage opens with Jesus leaving the Gentile cities of Tyre and Sidon, headed back to Galilee. But Jesus and his men do not go straight back to the Jewish country. Look at verse 31 of Mark 7. Again, departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, he came through the midst of the region of Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee. Decapolis. If you look at where they were and where they were headed to, you would see that Jesus and his men took the long way around. In fact, going through Decapolis to get to Galilee is basically a couple hundred mile journey. Scholars tell us that a journey of this nature might have taken as long as 8 months on foot. If this trip took that long, it would have represented about 20% of the Lord's total earthly ministry. That is 8 months of the Lord's ministry of which we have no record. What was he doing? What was he doing? We can only speculate. But I would imagine that he was teaching them and training them for the difficult days that were ahead. When he and his men returned, Jesus finds himself under increasing attack by the Jews. And this will be one of the last opportunities that he will have to be alone with his men before he goes on to Calvary to die. This is a time of teaching for the disciples. Months and months with the Master. It is also interesting that Jesus goes to Decapolis. If you'll remember, the people of that region, they had asked Jesus to leave their country. Remember back in Mark 5. Turn back with me. Mark 5, verses 17 through 20. We'll go over when Christ was in Decapolis before. Mark 5, 17 through 20. Then they began to plead with him to depart from their region. And when he got into his boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged them that he might be with them. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you." And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. The man that had been called Legion, the demon-possessed ones. Jesus Christ had cast a legion of demons out of the Gadarene demoniac. Those demons had entered into a herd of swine, and the pigs had all drowned. The people of Decapolis had rejected Jesus and forced him to leave. They wanted Christ gone. They began to plead with him to depart from their region. They wanted Christ out of there. Now, he returns, and they receive him with open arms. First, the people from Decapolis reject Jesus, force him to leave. Now he returns, and they receive him with open arms. Why the change? What made the difference? The answer can be found in Mark 5, where we just were. Mark 5, verse 19. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you." That redeemed demoniac went home and told everyone he met what Jesus had done for him. He was such an effective witness that the people were eager now for Jesus Christ to come back to town. And when he did, they embraced him. What a lesson. What a lesson for us who know the Lord. that we should be in the business of magnifying him. Our lives poured out for him, telling others of the great things that he has done for us. By the way, it thrills my heart that Jesus Christ went back, that people had rejected him, and he would have been justified had he never returned. But Jesus came back and gave them another chance. And aren't you grateful that he didn't write off your name the first time you rejected him? I praise his name that he keeps on loving. He keeps on coming. He keeps on drawing. He keeps on calling until he gets what he's after. Christ pursues, Christ tracks down. In this passage, Jesus Christ comes to Decapolis, and the people bring a deaf man now to Jesus Christ for healing. Jesus heals this poor man, and the crowds marvel. They saw his power, and they were amazed. They said, "He has done all things well." I want to take this passage, look at it for a couple studies, and preach on the thought of Jesus Christ and how he has done well. I want you to see that he still has the power to amaze those who come to him. Let's look at Mark 7, verse 32, and see the Master. Mark 7, verse 32. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. They begged Jesus Christ to put his hand on this deaf man. The Bible tells us that this man was deaf. The word means the blunt or the dull. It may have been that this man lost his hearing as the result of an injury, or he may have been born deaf. Either way, this poor man cannot hear. Not only was he deaf, but he also had a speech impediment. He could talk, but his speech was impaired. These two conditions seem to go hand in hand, because a deaf person cannot hear themselves saying words. They tend to have trouble using verbal language correctly. While this man's condition is tragic, this verse is a blessing. This man, even though he was handicapped, had people around him that cared about him. He had people of compassion around him, people that cared about him. The people had heard that Jesus was passing by, and they brought their deaf friend to Jesus Christ. They believed that the man who had cast a legion of demons out of the demoniac could heal this poor handicapped man. Let's make a couple observations about this business of physical handicaps before we move on to the next verses. First of all, there was something in the heart of Jesus Christ that drew him to the handicapped. Once again, as through all the Gospels, we see the compassion, the love, the tenderness, the concern of Jesus Christ for the quote-unquote lesser thans. Those that are on the fringes of society, those that it seems that people have turned their backs on. For many times the people on the fringes of society take a lot out of you. Takes a lot to love, a lot to serve, a lot of patience, a lot of kindness. Jesus Christ loved people. who were often cast aside by others. Jesus Christ spent much time ministering to those with physical infirmities because he had a heart full of love and compassion for their needs. What a great need we have, each and every believer, to be filled with love and compassion. The need to be full of love and compassion, to be in prayer, asking the Father to fill us with love and compassion. I would say that if you want to be like Jesus, you should reach out to the handicapped. You should reach out to the down and out. You should reach out to the blind, the deaf, the mute, those in wheelchairs, those that are poor, those that are homeless, those that have no parents, the children are in foster care or something. Jesus Christ loved people and ministered to them, and we should do the same. Besides that, handicapped people seem to be drawn to Jesus Christ. And do you know why? Have you ever asked the question why? Why over and over in the four Gospels do you see over and over and over the people that are drawn to Christ? There's something wrong with them in some way, shape, or form. Something wrong with them in the eyes of society. They're not, don't have things 100% perfect. There's a leper. There's a demoniac. The woman's daughter is demon-possessed. The one daughter dies. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. Those that are really having a hard time. Why does it seem that, quote-unquote, the insignificant people in society are drawn to Jesus Christ? It's because he accepts them and loves them just like they are. Do we not need to be that way? Acceptant of others, loving others? Or do when we see the down and out, we turn the other way, we walk down the other side of the street? We're opposite of the Good Samaritan. We're like the religious people. Oh, I got to get the prayer. I got to get the Bible study. I got to get to church. I know you're beat up and on the side of the road and down and out, but I ain't got no time for you. I got to get over to the church house. Should we not be like the Good Samaritan? Those less thans, quote unquote, are looking for the kind of love and acceptance from society, from a society that rejects them. That's why they're drawn to Jesus Christ. Society rejects most people that just are not quite up to par in the eyes of society. But Jesus Christ loves them like they are, and so should we. There's many handicapped people who would love to hear the gospel, if someone only cared enough to tell them the gospel. Another observation that arises from these verses has to do with heaven. 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 Where do you get that, Bill? Where do you see that in the text? I'm glad to report to you that there'll not be a single handicapped individual in glory. There'll be no more pain, no more heartache, no more suffering. There will not be a shriveled body, a feeble mind, or a paralyzed frame in the glorious land. Those precious people who have suffered so much in this world and who have trusted Jesus Christ will be delivered forever from their wheelchairs, from their crutches, from their beds of infirmity, and from their institutions. Their bodies will be made whole and their minds will be renewed. There'll be no more pain, no more heartache, no more death. It will all be changed. For the Lamb has come. The wife has made herself ready. She'll be granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And behold, I saw heaven opened, and a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. The King of Kings is coming, and the Lord of Lords is coming. The serious condition of many people will come to an end. One of these days, the physically and mentally handicapped persons who have trusted Jesus Christ will leave their infirmities behind forever. They will go to heaven where they will get new bodies and perfect minds. And the sad news on the other side is, if a person dies without Jesus Christ, they will leave this world and go to hell. And that is a far more serious thing than any physical handicap a person can endure. Today is the day of salvation. If you do not know Jesus Christ, come to Christ today. Today, if you be handicapped, know that someday you will rise. Even as Christ rose from the dead, you will rise from that wheelchair, you will rise from that bed of affliction. And even if you be not quote unquote handicapped, all of us are shackled by something, some kind of sin, some kind of pain, some kind of heartache, some kind of something that each and every one of us suffer. But as we see in the text, the people brought the man that was deaf to Jesus Christ, brought him to Jesus Christ for healing. And what is it today that you need Christ to heal you from? What pain, what heartache, what broken relationships, what sin? What is it that you need Christ to deliver you from today? I would be as one of the friends of the deaf man. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged them to put his hand on him. I would be as one of the friends today that brought the man to Jesus Christ. I would invite you to come to Christ today, be it for salvation, be it for deliverance, be it for love, be it for compassion, be whatever it is that you would need. Come to Jesus Christ today.